Let's pray as we're standing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving to us and preserving for us your word. We thank you for these words of Jesus we're to consider this morning, and we ask that you would open our hearts and minds to see the truth of them, that they might impact on our lives. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, do sit down. Well, last autumn, Major General Andrew Mackay resigned from the army. 52-year-old Major Mackay had played a significant role in the counter-insurgency campaign in Afghanistan. But he was said to have told colleagues that he was angry and disillusioned at the lack of resources being put into the battle by the authorities. Earlier this year, Patricia Robinson, a local councillor and former Lord Mayor in Lancashire, resigned from her political party. She quit following what she called a build-up of frustration at not being listened to. Mrs. Robinson said, "I'm so disillusioned. I've always been someone who likes coming up with ideas, but it seems like people just want to stifle me." Two people who, for various reasons, felt so discouraged, so disillusioned and downhearted that they gave up on their most important position in life. Now, even though most of us aren't in such public roles and may even disagree with the reasons given by those two people, we can all understand how sometimes in life we can feel so down that we can be strongly tempted to lose heart, to throw in the towel and to give up what we had once thought to be very important. Well, of course, living in a broken world such as this one as Christian believers can present us with such temptations. Sometimes life seems very hard. We can feel battered about. Things seem to go wrong. And we may even find that we get unfairly treated because we are known as those who belong to Jesus. We look around at a society turning and running away from God, and an institutional church sometimes seeming to behave in a similar way. We might pray, but answers don't seem to come as we would wish. We can feel that it would be much easier to simply give up and live with the outlook that so many people around us have of giving very little consideration to God. Well, this parable of Jesus that we're considering this morning addresses believers who either are facing temptations such as these, or who one day might do, or who know others who are or might do. The parable of the persistent widow, or the unjust judge as it's sometimes called, begins like this. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Now, if you've got a black Bible near to you, do turn to page 1056 and Luke chapter 18, and you'll see this parable there in front of you, page 1056. See, Jesus tells this parable because he knew that his disciples will find themselves tempted to lose heart, tempted to give up in disillusionment. So he tells them and us today in 2010 a parable that is, of course, a story with a meaning to help us to get the right perspective on life and especially on God and our response to him. Now, the story has two characters, a judge and a widow. Now, at the time, small disputes between locals were often settled by appealing to a prominent local citizen who was given authority to try to sort things out. Such was the judge in Jesus' story. But this judge is clearly corrupt. He is, 1 verse 2, who neither feared God nor respected man. He was a very bad judge. This man had neither the motivation of reverence for God and his laws of justice and compassion, nor even a basic humanitarian concern for his fellow men and women. He was, as Jesus says in verse 6, unrighteous or worldly. While the other character, a widow, was a representative of a group that was seen as amongst the most vulnerable people in society at the time. They were truly, in the now infamous words of the BP chairman this week, small people. Girls tended to marry young at the time, so if they lost their husbands without having had children who could provide for them in later life, they were left with no status, no money, and no support. And of course, there was no system of benefits as a safety net at the time either. So the lady that Jesus portrays is someone who is very much a vulnerable person. And this particular woman is shown to us as someone who is being mistreated. And so she goes, as was the custom, to the judge in order to find help. "Give me justice against my adversary," she says. "Right the wrong of which I am the victim." See, the poor woman didn't want punishment for her opponent. She wanted rather justice and what was due to her. Well, having seen the judge described as he has been, we're not surprised to find him reacting negatively to this woman's need. "Give me justice against my adversary," says the widow. But, verse 4, "for a while the judge refused." See, the judge just couldn't be bothered with her. There was nothing in it for him, after all. But the woman, we're told, kept coming to the judge. And in the end, verse 4, he said to himself, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." So the judge eventually relents. Not because he sees the error of his ways, he sees the lack of respect for God or for the woman, and sees that as wrong and changes his mind. No, not at all. But he gives her what she asks for, simply because he is worn down by the woman's persistent badgering. Because she's dogged in her determination to get what she needs, the judge gets fed up, and despite his corrupt disinterest, he's forced in the end to help this poor defensive lady and promises that he will advocate her cause. Well, that's the story. But what are we to make of it? So often a character in Jesus' parables represents God. We saw that with the father of the two lost sons, the prodigal son, recently. Are we to see God in this unjust judge then? Well, it's quite clear that Jesus tells his story with the needy widow and the mean-spirited judge to set a contrast. It is most definitely not that God is mean and that we are to keep badgering him and he will eventually get exasperated and give us what we're bothering him about. Quite the opposite, in fact. Jesus' message is that God is not like that judge. Rather, he is kind. He is generous. He is a loving father, an appropriate theme as we remember our earthly fathers today. And God will act when his people cry out to him. So the judge is not a comparison with God, but should be seen rather as a contrast to him. And we're to recognize that even if an unrighteous, mean man will eventually hear the cries of the needy, how much more will our righteous and loving Heavenly Father? Jesus said, verse 6, "Hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" So do you see the contrast? If a worldly man, facing the persistent cry of a helpless widow whom he couldn't care less about, eventually arranges to get her the justice that she needs, how much more will God answer and provide, faced with the persistent cries of his chosen ones? If a rotten, selfish judge at last responds and gives justice to one who keeps asking him, how much more will God respond and vindicate his people? Now remember, this is a parable where we are told what it means even before we hear it. Verse 1 again. "And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." So as we hear about the unjust judge's reaction, we are to think, how much more will God answer persistent prayer? How much more will God vindicate his children suffering opposition and persecution? In this world and at this time in history, before Jesus returns, there will be delays in our prayers being answered. There will be delays in us seeing the victory that we long for. And that is why Jesus gives us this story. It is to encourage us to keep praying, to keep believing God will sort things out, to keep trusting that one day justice, full justice, will be fully known. And so it is an encouragement to persistent prayer, focused on God and his ultimate purposes in his world. Well, knowing that we have a good, loving Heavenly Father who listens and who answers means that we should keep on praying, even when at first nothing seems to change. And we should keep on asking, even when there seems little difference initially. See, the way that the parable is introduced reminds us that Jesus calls us to keep praying always. That is not continuously as if we are to escape the world and live like some hermit-like mystic, but rather we are to pray regularly, to keep the habit of prayer, to live with a prayerful frame of mind. So this parable is designed to give us strength and encouragement to keep at prayer, committed, frequent, persevering prayer. Now, of course, as we think about that, there is a challenge in all sorts of areas of our lives. There's a challenge to keep praying for those people and situations that we might be tempted to give up on. Family and friends who we long to hear and respond to the good news. For our church community, that we would be a light to our area, even though there's much against us in terms of attitudes and actions in the wider society. For those situations in the world where things are tough for Christian believers, where they will be crying out for justice in the face of opposition. Well, we can join them in prayer to our loving Father. And as we see this story, there's another contrast. That is that when we see this woman, she's very much on her own crying out to this unjust judge. Well, as Christian believers, not only do we pray to a loving Heavenly Father, but we can do so together. We might seem relatively few, but we can pray together as we meet as the church family on occasions such as this, we will be doing later. We can pray at the monthly prayer meeting, which happens a week tomorrow. We can pray in home groups. We can pray with one another, informally, maybe over a cup of tea or coffee. So don't lose heart. Keep praying. But it's also interesting to note that the specific context of Jesus' story here shows that it's more than just about prayer in general. In the previous verses, Jesus has been teaching about his final return. And he makes it clear that the kingdom of God, God's loving, saving rule, has come in him. But the complete fulfillment of God's kingdom will only come when he returns. Now, Jesus warns that his coming will mean judgment for those who have not trusted in him, who have not taken refuge in the rescue that he has made possible through his death on the cross, that death that we remember this morning as we share bread and wine in a few moments. But for those who have received the benefits of the cross, his return is great news, because it will be then that all wrongs will be seen to be wrong and will be righted for us and for others. Now, this perspective means that we're to be aware that there is a tension in Christian living, which is a challenge to live with. And that's especially true when things seem hard and our prayers don't seem to be answered immediately. Well, one day, God's rule will be fully known and there will be justice for all God's people. But of course, at this stage, we're still waiting for that day. And as we wait, it is very easy to get discouraged. It is very easy to lose heart. Just think of how those Christians in the former Soviet Central Asian countries are feeling right now. There's great opposition on racial grounds, and the minority Uzbek and Kyrgyz Christians are supporting one another, even though many of their fellow citizens are fighting and killing each other. They must wonder how God is going to help them, whether God is going to bring justice for them, whether God and how God is going to vindicate them. Well, Jesus' story is an encouragement to keep on praying, to persist in praying, because God will answer, and ultimately our prayers will certainly be answered at the end, when full justice will be experienced. It may seem that God delays to answer the prayers of his people, but he has not forgotten them. He has a plan, so we can trust him. Persistent prayer will be answered. Jesus says, verse 7, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Excuse me. Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. See, God will answer. There may seem to be a delay. We shall have to wait for his return to ultimately see justice. But we shall, as we do so, keep praying persistently and regularly. For in the end, God will answer. And when it comes, Jesus says, the answer will be speedy. That is sudden, though it may not seem quick from our perspective. One of Jesus' key disciples, Peter, when writing a letter to Christians some years later, puts it like this, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So keep praying, because God's kingdom will fully come. Well, we began with that senior military man who had lost his faith in his superiors and so resigned, and that local politician so disillusioned with her situation that she gave up on her role. Well, Jesus here in this parable speaks to his followers who too might be tempted to lose heart, to get discouraged, to become weary and to give up on living for him. But what he says to us is a great encouragement. He reminds us what God is really like in contrast, to the selfish, mean, disinterested judge. We have a generous, loving Heavenly Father who listens, a Father who will answer our prayers, for God will bring about justice for his chosen ones fully in the end. So as we hear those words this morning, do we believe this promise? Will we believe Jesus will return and God will prove his son and his people right? Will we believe that there will be complete justice one day? Will we keep on praying? Will we show our faith in him now by praying? As Jesus ends his parable there in verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this encouragement. We thank you for the fact that as Jesus was teaching these words, he knew that we would be tempted to be discouraged and to lose heart. But help us to take these things to heart, that we may gain courage, that we would be given grace by your Holy Spirit to keep praying, to keep trusting in you, that you are working your purpose out, and that in your hands, we are in the best place. So give us grace, we pray, Father, that we might trust in you and respond rightly to your word. And we ask for Jesus' sake.